Good morning. We've got several that are away today, but I'm glad that there are some visitors today and people visiting fathers and grandfathers and all that, and visitors from the community. We're glad that you're here as well. It's a good day to be together. I'm just thankful for that. Want to just say at the beginning, happy Father's Day. And just take a few minutes before the lesson just to express my thanks and gratitude. You know, I'm thankful for days like today where we can just step back and especially on days like today, honor, remember, spend time with fathers, grandfathers. Days like this can come with a mixture of emotions depending on your background and your experience, and can just be packed with all sorts of emotions that you'd be experiencing on Father's Day. We want to be thankful in these, and I hope that in all of it that today will be a blessing for you. And let me say to fathers, whether you have children or spiritual children, sometimes we only think about those that have physical or adopted children, but Paul was a father, right? We think about his true children in the faith. And so whether you have children or spiritual children, I want to just thank you for your example that you set, the ways you influence and lead. I want to thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for all you do to teach your children to love the Lord and to know Him. Thank you for your patience, your consistency, your faith, your love. It's a blessing to your children. It's a blessing to all who see that. I read this recently. It says the most important work that a father can do for the sake of his children is to be converted. The most important strategy for rearing children is to become a new man in Christ whose hope and happiness and confidence are in God and not himself. I think there's a lot of truth in that, realizing that ultimately we're called to live for Christ and live as Christ and influence our children in that. And I see so many of you giving that gift to your children. So again, I'm just thankful to you and thankful for you. I want to take time now just to give God thanks, and let's pray together. Our Father, we praise your name. Thank you so much for your amazing love for us. You are the great Father, one who teaches us in so many good ways and has loved us with an incredible love. And as we've just been meditating and fixing our minds on your giving up of your Son, that you would adopt us as your children and bring us into your family, that we would be your children and call you our Father, and that we long for the day where we'll be with you and see you face to face. Thank you for all the men here today who are fathers, whether they have children or spiritual children. I'm thankful for those men that influence others and care for others in so many good ways. Thank you for the ways you work in them to bless us all and bless their children. I pray that you lift them up, that you encourage them. May today be a day that they would be built up and encouraged. In all things, we want to honor you and lift up your name and praise you above all else. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, I want to kind of pick back up in this train of thought we've been working on and the idea of following Christ. For our visitors, we've spent this year really, for the most part, focusing on and thinking through and considering and questioning what does it mean to follow Jesus and really be his disciple. And so one of the things we've been doing is just, as a congregation and personally, trying to just clear the floor of our assumptions and all those things, and just really look critically and honestly at our own lives and refocus on that just fundamental part of who we are in Christ, the fundamental aspect of our identity in Him. And so realizing today, you know, if you're visiting with us, you're picking up into something we've been building on. But I hope in either case that the lesson can be profitable for you. But as we've spent the year considering what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow, in the last couple weeks, we've finally taken some time to just stop and summarize. You know, so we spent the good first part of the year just building a base of different principles and different perspectives, specifically from Luke and Acts. In the last couple weeks, we've taken that picture and tried to summarize, okay, what is that vision? And summarize following Jesus with two fundamental points. That one, following Jesus is living for Jesus, this idea of whole life devotion. On the other hand, following Jesus is becoming like Jesus. It's this lifelong imitation. And so we see devotion and imitation. And that really is the essence of discipleship, the essence of what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And then we looked a little bit more and realized, okay, when you really then get into Jesus, his mission, his life, his character, who he was, what he was about, we see that such devotion and imitation will especially manifest itself in our relationships. That is just a fundamental aspect of what that would look like to follow Jesus. And so as followers of Jesus, we'll be full of grace. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Seeking, welcoming the lost, the broken, the marginalized, that we just are just overflowing with grace like our Lord was. With that, as followers of Jesus, we'll share life as a family and embody his love that he gave us in our love for one another. And so you see this outward reach, this just grace is flowing. You see this tightness that we would have together, loving one another. And so grace for the lost, love for one another. And so... this is the vision, right? This is the picture. And again, as I said a couple weeks ago, I don't want to leave any critical piece out of that. And I don't want to reduce it to the point of excluding other things. But just when you really look at the essence of being a disciple of Jesus, this is at the very heart of it. And so I hope after 6 months of reading, praying, discussing these things, that we all have a clearer sense of that vision. Have a clearer sense of his design and his desire for us as his followers. But the question then is, what does that really look like in my life, right? What does that really look like? What does it mean to follow Jesus in just the everyday stuff of this world and this life? What does it look like to follow Jesus at home? What does it look like to follow Jesus at work? At school, at the gym, in my neighborhood, running errands, right? Just all these things, these aspects of our life. What does it look like to be like Jesus and live for Jesus in all these scenarios? So we've been looking at this picture, right, for nearly 6 whole months. Does that look like your everyday life? For some of you, it looks more like this, right? Like this is more life. And for some of you, it's more like this, that this is life. Some of you, it's this, that this is real life, everyday life. For some of you, it's this, and you may be on either side of that picture, right? But this is more everyday life. Now, we recognize that following Jesus means we're going to be like Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet and have that priority for that specific devotion and prayer. And so we're not taking those things out, but following Jesus means these kinds of scenarios, right? That these kinds of scenarios would be impacted and influenced and permeated by our focus. We can say, and I said this in a lesson, the last couple sum up lessons. I said all of life is laid claim under his sovereign saving rule, excluding all other claims to our ultimate loyalty. So it makes for a really good sermon point, right? Because, like, you know, I was really careful to word that just right and make sure that was well balanced and everything. So that makes a really good sermon point. I can say that and I can, but okay, but what does that really look like? I mean, think about that. What does that really mean? What does it really look like to say all of life is laid claim under his sovereign saving rule? And so my goal this summer is to move from believing certain things to practicing certain things. from hearing to doing. My goal this summer is to help us live out and embody the ideas that we've been discussing. And so we're still going to take the time with every lesson to renew our vision of the text and our foundation of the text. But in reality, we've spent quite a bit of time doing that already. And so I want these lessons to be very specific, very practical. I hope to look at a variety of relationships, responsibilities, life rhythms that we have, and offer some very specific challenges and charges to just help us live out our calling in Christ. And so the first relationship I want to look at then with this particular series is that of our one another relationship as a family of Christ, something we talk about a lot, something the scriptures talk about probably more than we do, but our relationship, our one another relationship as a family of Christ. And so again, before I jump into some specific charges, I want to just, again, renew our picture of what do the scriptures say about our one another relationships. Just picked a few verses here to look at. But this is John 13. This is a little bit later from what Gordon just read for us. A minute, I can't say too many words at once. But so again, recall our setting, right? This is the night before Jesus' death. He's been with his disciples for months and years now, and the night before his death, the night that he's about to be betrayed, he's shared this Passover meal and instituted the Lord's Supper, and weighing heavily on him is about what's to happen. But he's preparing his disciples for what's going to happen, and just feeding them these just core ideas to equip them, not even for the next few days, but ultimately these are seeds that would be sown for that would bear fruit later on. But listen to what he says in John 13, beginning in verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then a little bit later, the same night, John 17, he's praying now. He's just before this section that I'm quoting now, he's been praying specifically for the disciples who were there that night. But what he starts to do now is looks beyond to those who would come to faith later and prays for them. And that would include us as well. Listen to what he says in John 17, beginning in verse 20. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Love, oneness. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6. Just a short statement here. "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then Hebrews 10, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now again, this is by no means a complete list, but hopefully representative of just the basis of our one another relationship, this love, this unity. And I hope we recognize in this, at the center of Christ's will for our lives is our one another relationship, our relationship with one another. We've got to see this. We've got to see this. He desires this profound love and really giving that imitates his love for us. He desires this profound oneness, this unity that imitates the same oneness that he had with the Father. So if you can picture how tight he and the Father are, he says, "This is what I want for you." We are to bear one another's burdens, right? As he bore our burdens on the cross. We are to be in each other's lives, actively, intentionally stirring each other up to love and good works, provoking one another, poking one another to love and good works and just keep moving forward, keep doing better and better. And in this, we come to be more like Christ. We come to be more like Christ. But we also recognize that in this, we're meant to have a profound impact on the world around us, because it's not supposed to just happen here. It's supposed to happen out there, that others would see that and be moved by that. Listen again to what he said in John 13 and John 17. John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you're my disciples, think about that for a second. You love like I loved, and people will know you're mine. People will know you're living for me. People will know you're following me. And he said, that the world may believe that you sent me. We're to embody the gospel in our relationships with one another. Our one another relationship is to be this declaration and demonstration of the gospel that we believe. And it's to be such a powerful and an authentic manifestation of the gospel that outsiders would see this love and actually come to faith in Jesus. I mean, think about that for just a second. That they would see this, that would stir them up to believe it, right? We can argue and debate and make points, but think about what he's saying is the powerful testimony of the life lived. So I just, do you see that? Do you see the vision in that? How important this is to him? Can you see this is about so much more than just going to church? Whatever that means. This is a shared life in which the gospel is to be constantly broadcast. We would say in modern terms, in crystal clear, high definition, right? For all the world to see the gospel on display. And let's remember in this is about giving, not getting. Although we're certainly blessed in this relationship, this is about what we give first, not what we get first. How many times have you heard it said, you need to spend time with other Christians so you can get the support and encouragement you need? Have you heard that before? Something to that effect? Where's the book, chapter, verse for that one? I'm not saying that's not true. I mean, there's a truth to that. I mean, obviously, we need that support. We need that encouragement. But can you see how that reverses the force of the instruction? Especially look at Hebrews 10 again. Let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking. I go, I come, I reach out and seek so I can stir you up. Jesus said something about more blessed to give than to receive. And again, so it reverses the force of the instruction. And it's a subtle shift, but think about it. It turns discipleship really into consumerism. It's if I'm thinking about our relationship in that way, then I begin to think about what I get out of this church service or what others can do for me. Or then I'll be much more set up and in a place to grow bitter or complain when others aren't meeting my needs. And again, that's just from flipping that order around. Now, we give, and that's blessed. And so there's a, and I don't want to take away the fact we do need support, we do need encouragement, we do need accountability, but we need it in the right order. Living for Jesus in this relationship, living like Jesus in this relationship, means I'm giving of myself to bless my brothers and sisters. And in this, I'm blessed. I think that's the right order. And so again, just wanted to, these aren't new things. I don't think I've said anything that I've not said, at least to some extent before. But want to just relay this foundation, just have this in front of us, because I want to get more specific and try to think about then, okay, what does this look like? How to live this out? And so here's my charge for today, and really I want this charge to go forward for the next several months. Here's the charge. Want you to, each of us, to just commit to blessing three people each week. My charge for each of us is to intentionally seek to bless three people within the family of Christ each week for the rest of the year. These acts of blessing can be big things or little things. These acts of blessings can meet physical needs, felt needs, or spiritual needs, or simply to build relationships. The point is that we're all making an intentional effort to live out our calling to love one another. The only rule that I'm throwing in here, again, this is for me, right? So I can make rules, right? So the only rule with this particular charge is these acts of blessing should happen outside of our Sunday, Wednesday gatherings. Because if you think about it, especially when we keep in mind what we read in Hebrews 10, that's why we're here, right? And that's what we should already be happening while we're here. So again, blessing, but making it just a intentional effort to bless three people. What I want to clarify, though, as I say this, I don't in any way, as I present this charge. I don't in any way want to reduce our calling to love one another to just 3x, right? That would trivialize and reduce and miss a lot. What John wrote in 1 John 3, we know love by this, he laid down our lives for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We see, someone see a brother or sister in need, we have the world's goods, and close his heart against him. How does the love of God abide in him? So the point is, the biblical it is, you see a need, you meet it. That's showing Christ's love. And so again, with this specific charge, I'm not in any way wanting to reduce or diminish that at all. The aim in this is one, to give us all a practical, attainable, measurable goal, and two, to work to cultivate habits that in the daily, weekly rhythms of our life that are central to following Jesus. And so that's where this charge comes from. And so I hope that's clear in this. But so bless three people. Just intentionally say, okay, three people this week that are on my list. I'm going to focus on them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to provoke them to love and good works. So what does that look like, right? Here's a few ideas. I've talked with a few brothers and sisters, so these aren't just coming from me, but just several, just trying to pool our creative minds and think through just some things. What could this look like? What could this look like? One, share a meal with another brother or sister. It's a blessing to make a meal for someone. Those blessings start to multiply when you actually have the time to sit down and share that same meal with them. Another one, just meet with another brother or sister for coffee or tea. You know, just again, it's not about the coffee. Much as I like coffee, it's not. But again, thinking about those connections. Here's one. Listen. Sometimes, you know, I feel the need to talk or say something or have the right words. But maybe the way you bless someone is just by listening, hearing where they are, hearing what they're going through, what they're living, what they've struggled with, and just hear them. Because then, once you've listened and listened well, now you're queued up to be able to see more needs and meet more needs as well. But just listen. Another, give, right? Share your money, property, possessions to meet a specific need, right? So giving is an act of blessing. Or serving. Share your time and your abilities to meet a specific need. And again, we recognize this, the wide range of those needs. Or in this, take one or two other brothers or sisters with you when you go serve someone else. And then again, think about how you're multiplying blessings in that. Not only is it this one-on-one, now you're helping others along in that as well. Here's one. Pray with somebody. Again, just, you know, sometimes, you know, in my thinking, I thought, okay, I've got to have a Bible study, right? Or maybe just pray with that person. Meet up, even if it's just 10 minutes before or after work sometime, just to come and pray with them, pray for them, but pray with them. Visit a widow, visit a widower, or visit a brother or sister who's in the hospital, or be there when someone's having a surgery. Just being there, right? Just being in the waiting room with their family, or maybe you're the only family there, but you're there. The same thing I said earlier can apply to this as well. Take one or two more brothers or sisters with you when you go visiting. Again, thinking about how those are multiplying these connections and multiplying these opportunities for blessing and encouraging and strengthening others. Send a card or a text with an encouraging message or scripture. That is so simple, but that does a lot. Talk about, value, right? You know, something that doesn't cost, something that doesn't take a whole lot of time. But man, the blessing of just that note sometimes can go a long way. Pray for another brother or sister, and then let them know that you prayed for them and what you prayed about. watch young kids to give parents a break or time away together. I'm not saying this because I have young kids, right? But you know, but think about that. There's several in that place right now that have young kids, and think about how you could help in that way. Along those lines, I know one sister who offers to come over and watch young kids to give mom a chance to catch up on housework or errands. You know, just spending focused time with her kids and just free her up to do some things that otherwise would be really stressful and really burdensome. One sister recently has offered to watch young kids for 2 hours each week, specifically, and this came with a catch, but a really, really good catch, specifically to give moms chance for undivided time to focus on their relationship with God. You know, I'll take your kids, and I'll watch them. You focus on the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That's brilliant. Or this, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Now, that's not from my list, right? Paul said that in Romans 12. But with that, you know, if someone has a special cause for celebration, think about how you can celebrate with them. Share in that celebration. If someone's mourning, make a point, just again, to be there with them and share with them in that. Think about this, and this doesn't have to be strictly women, but I'm going to say this from the perspective of women. Older women, what skills or lessons can you teach younger women? Now, Paul instructed Titus to tell older women specifically to help teach children how to love their younger women, younger women how to love their husbands and love their children. But think about that principle as that ripples out to all aspects of life. What skills or lessons can you teach younger women? Or think of it from the other direction. Younger women, what skills or life lessons can you learn from older women? And maybe both of you run into each other on the way, right? But you're seeking each other out, and there are blessings not only in the lessons that you're learning, but in the bonds that are forming and deepening in that. And again, really, that's more of what it is. You know, you're learning to sew maybe, but it's a lot more than just about sewing. You see what I'm saying? Here's a suggestion that I received. Be a champion for someone. Think about it in terms of that. This may be bigger than a text that you would send, but you're saying, okay, here's somebody who needs me in their corner, and you say, I'm going to be there for them for the long haul. Follow through with whatever their mental, physical, emotional, spiritual battle there is, but you're there for them. And you're there to see that they get the help they need. Maybe you're not the one always running them, but you're there to make sure that somebody's always running them or being there or helping there. And those are just a few ideas. Again, there's just a variety of needs and opportunities. You know, something that maybe I don't do a good enough job thinking about or making a point to thank the brothers and sisters that work on this, but you just think about our weekly bulletin, something that's easy to take for granted. But wow, I mean, what a helpful tool and resource to help us in something like this. And in addition to those that are mentioned in the bulletin, look for those who are hurting quietly. I know of one sister who's been very thoughtful in this way, and she said when new births are announced, she lifts up couples that are struggling with infertility. When upcoming surgeries are announced, she tries to encourage those with long-term health challenges. When deaths are announced, she writes to encourage someone who are caring for their aging parents, right? And so again, let's be, diverse in our thinking in this as well, and all these things. But in all these things, remember this fundamental mission we're on. And so think about this. What can you do to help someone draw strength and direction from God's word, right? And so we talked about all these things that touch on various aspects of our lives, again, whether they're physical needs, emotional needs, whatever they are. But in all this, what can you do to help someone draw strength and direction from God's word? What can you do to help someone depend on God more in prayer? What can you do to bring someone closer to Christ? Let me offer with this challenge a few suggestions as well in terms of just perspective and how we think about this. Don't think in terms of programs. Think in terms of culture. rather than trying to just organize or plan events, let these kinds of things become just part of who we are. Now, I want to say that. I want to, of course, clarify myself here. I'm not saying don't organize or plan things. I'm an organizer and planner, if you haven't figured that out by now. But I say this to say, because I catch myself in this a lot, we can spend so much time and energy planning events, but the substance of those events and activities never become a part of who we are. And so again, just as we think about these things, don't think in terms of programs, think in terms of culture and letting be a part of us. And in this too, it becomes really easy to confuse being busy with being fruitful, right? We can be busy, but not very fruitful. And so we want to be fruitful. And so again, think in terms of culture. Similar to that, I would encourage you, don't think just in terms of to-do list, think in terms of rhythms of life. Rather than just adding more and more and more to your already quite full to-do list, weave these kinds of activities into what you're already doing. And so in this, we're moving in our thinking from additional to intentional. Let me just illustrate this with something like with a meal. Most of us eat 3 times a day, sometimes 6, sometimes 12, you know. No, we eat 3 times a day, 7 days a week, 21 meals, more or less, a week. How can you start using some of those meals? Be more intentional with some of those meals in blessing us. Again, something you're already doing, you're going to be doing anyway. Can you bring others into that as well? Can you go out to others with some of those as well? So again, it's taking these things and being intentional with them, rather than just saying, I've got to cram all this into these things. So again, just a suggestion as we think about these sort of things, rather than just thinking in terms of to-do lists. And I've got a to-do list. I'm not trying to take away all our organizational tools. Don't get me wrong. But just thinking more fully, more holistically in all this. But in this, remember this, compassion trumps convenience. And so these first couple suggestions are intended to help us avoid just unnecessary busyness and even burnout that comes with just trying to handle all these things. Again, that's the purpose of those first couple suggestions. Remembering that following Jesus means we're going to do hard things and be inconvenienced for the glory of God and for the good of others. And so let's not let convenience drive how we do these things. Let something more like compassion drive how we do these things. And you look at Jesus and you see that. How many times was he inconvenienced because compassion led him to do something? So again, in this, I hope that we can offer some helpful things to make these practical and doable. But let's not let convenience become our God. Let's follow Jesus and live with compassion. These are just a few ideas, a few suggestions as we think about a charge like this. But I encourage you, be creative. Be creative in this. As is evidenced from just some of the things I shared that I've picked up from others, there are some brothers and sisters who are thoughtful and caring and looking outside themselves and really trying to see needs and respond in a way that honors Christ. Be creative. Let's share our ideas with one another. Let's talk about this, right? How we can bless one another. But in all this, let's keep looking to Jesus. His life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his reign. And let's be inspired by that, driven by that. Let that be the source of our inspiration for our life together and the ways we seek to bless one another. So kind of pulling all this together, say you care, show you care, build relationships, strengthen connections, look outside yourself to see needs and help meet needs, constantly look to Jesus as the model, the inspiration, the drive for what you do, what you say, how you seek opportunities, how you respond to those needs and opportunities, constantly live to see Christ formed in others. So again, as followers of Jesus, we're called to live life as a family, to share life as a family, living out the same love and oneness we see in Christ. Again, that's the biblical vision. That's the design. This specific charge is inspired by that, and intended to just to start to cultivate those habits in the daily, weekly rhythms of our life, that we can be living this out, and just to give us something practical and measurable, attainable, that we can say, okay, I'm doing this, and help us work in this direction. Encourage each of us. Let's do this. No matter how big or small these acts of blessing may be, let's make an intentional effort to live out our calling to love one another. Let's pray together. Our Father, again, we come before you to give you honor and glory, praise, thanksgiving. Thank you for the ways that you love us and love each of us and work in our lives. Thank you for your word, the power to save us, the power to transform us and change us as it reveals you and your Son and your will and all that you are. Please work in us to live in ways that honor you and glorify you. Help us to live out your will, to love one another, to be one, to bear one another's burdens, to provoke one another to go love and good works, and all the other beautiful aspects of our relationship that you've designed for us in Jesus. Help us to be more and more like him every day, to see his life, his teaching, all that he's done, all that he is, and be changed by that, truly changed. And as we grow in this, help us also to be looking out and not not just look inward on what we do together. You know, that's what we've focused on today. Help us always to be looking out to the world around us, to those who are without hope. And may we show them grace and always be ready to tell the story and point them to life and light and love in you. Help each of us. Help us as a church. In all things, may you be glorified. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Just take this time before we close. If you want to either open up your songbooks or the words will be on the screen in a minute. But if you're not in Christ and ready to put on Christ in baptism, to die to sin, to be raised to live a new life following Jesus, we want to encourage you or help you in that. And if you're here and just need our prayers, whether it's sin you want to confess and ask us to help you with, or something else that's going on in your life where you need help and support and encouragement, we want to help you in that as well. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.